You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our home here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also, that's a pen, leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have a really jam-packed show today.
Some would say super jam-packed.
Super jammed.
People are saying.
Many people are saying. Mm-hmm. Our friend and colleague and host of Amicus, a law review, Jim Santel, is going to be joining us after 9:35. There is so much to cover that we're not going to nearly have time to get into with him. So Listen to his show on Saturday mornings across the network from 9 to 11. It's called Amicus, a law review. It is a great show. Jim Santel going to be joining us after the 9:30 news, among the many, many things we're going to talk about. And we mentioned this just briefly yesterday. Alex Jones.
Oh, God.
InfoWars, who spread vicious, horrible lies about the families of the Sandy Hook victims. Mm-hmm. And Ed Martin, who's Alex Jones's good buddy.
Yeah.
Apparently was trying to go after an FBI agent who testified in the trial brought by the families of the victims against Alex Jones. It's unbelievable, this story. It is unbelievable.
Yeah. My eye is also on the story of the nomination for not attorney general, but
prosecutor.
Prosecutor. Jim Santel is what he is. He was a
former U.S. attorney.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. There it is. A nomination for a U.S. attorney who just couldn't find any evidence. So he either quit or got fired. I don't know. No one will say for sure. But yeah, apparently 5 months of research brought up bupkis. But we'll talk more about that as well. It's just ridiculous. It's just redonk.
And
you lost.
And then the person the Trump administration put in to replace that guy who could not find evidence to bring against Tisha James in New York, she's never prosecuted a case. Never.
Then if she did,
supremely qualified.
Jane, she doesn't do well, you're up next. You'll be.
I volunteer.
There you go.
In hour number two, Representative Mark Pocan will be here. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about the looming government shutdown next week.
Here we are again.
Yes, here we are again. And of course, the Republicans that control the House, the Senate, and the White House are blaming all the Democrats and are saying, if this happens, it's the Democrats' fault.
Because, they're in power.
Uh-huh, no.
And also, I just want to point back to history, and I'll bring this up to Congressman Pocan, is that if you look back to all of the close to or shutdowns that have happened, they have always been blamed on Republicans.
You can go look through
even
history.
When Obama was president. Because the Republicans were in power. We'll talk more about it. Sorry. I could talk about this for days because it's just perception. And the fact that get your house in order.
That'd be nice. Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan will be here for a sports update after 10:30 for a little audio sorbet. And then we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the night shift edition. I encourage you to stay tuned for that. It is underway, my friends. The multi-state text to win. Go for the green and gold.
Oh, boy.
Contest.
What do I do?
You can't play.
No. Okay. I was being in the,
you're a
the
listener,
royal.
As a listener?
Hi, Jay. My name is Steve. I'm a listener of Civic Media. What do I need to do to both participate and enter?
Here's what you do, Steve.
Okay.
Get your phone.
Got it.
Open up the Civic Media app.
It's a Nokia brick from 1995.
You have to have the Civic Media app.
Okay. Got it.
Text in the word. You have until 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Text in the word bay.
Bay.
B-A-Y. Text in the word bay. Right now, that is the keyword for this hour, and that gets you in the running for our daily prize, which is $200 in cash and gold jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
And the grand prize to club-level indoor seats to see Green Bay and Minnesota November 23rd, the noon game. We even throw in a gas card so you can get to and from. It is. It's a great prize package worth $1,550. But you have to enter, and you have to enter with the word bay, B-A-Y. And you can only enter on the Civic Media app. Every once in a while, I see a little emails come in, a few emails come in.
Yeah.
With the word, that's not how you enter.
Can't call it, can't email it, can't traditionally text it, can't put it in the live chat, live stream chat.
Unfortunately,
my cousin,
no.
Deb. And yeah, get the Civic Media, because honestly, folks, the Civic Media app, it's not just for entering the contest. It's just great to have because you can catch up on news from your region, from your area. You can customize it to get you what you want to see. Also, you can pick your favorite channels. And let's say you want to listen to the radio, the Request-a-thon on Max 99.7 happening in Baraboo right now. But I live in southeastern Wisconsin. I can't listen.
We can.
On my radio.
Nope.
But I can get the Civic Media app, and I can listen to it right now on my phone. And I could do that if I lived in Texas, Australia.
Anywhere.
East Brunswick, New Jersey.
Yeah, especially East Brunswick, New Jersey.
So, yeah, the Civic Media app is just great. Get it, download it, make it part of your life, and enter. The word is bay, as in Montego, or watch.
B-A-Y is the word. You have until 10 o'clock only. In previous iterations of this contest, you've had the entire show, but we have so many chances for you to win now.
Mm-hmm.
It is restricted to an hour.
Yeah.
So you have until 10 o'clock to text in the word bay, B-A-Y, and then you're entered. You can enter 7 times a day.
Yes, you can.
So it starts with Pat Kreitlow, mornings with Pat Kreitlow in the 7 o'clock hour, then our show from 9 to 10. Tom Hartman, you get 2 shots, 11 o'clock hour, 1 o'clock hour, and then join Todd this afternoon in the 3 p.m. hour, Maggie Dawn at 5 p.m., Peach Schwabba. Nightlight, baby.
Welcome to the game, buddy.
Exactly. 7 o'clock hour with Pete. So you have 7 chances every day. Lots of opportunities to be a winner. Again, either to pick up one of those daily prizes, $200 in cash and gold jewelry. And then the grand prize, tickets to see Green Bay, Minnesota indoor club level seats for November 23rd. And a gas card, too. It is. It's a great package. So text in the word bay, B-A-Y, and good luck. We're going to talk prices. Grocery prices.
Oh, they're going down. They're just plummeting, folks.
If you listen to anyone from the Trump administration, life has never been better.
Because
everything is coming down. Unless, I don't know, you actually go to grocery stores?
I do.
I went yesterday.
Yeah.
I bought a pound of ground beef.
Yeah.
It was almost $9.
How much was it, say, like...
It was
how much was it during the first Trump administration? That's even 4 or 5 years ago.
That's too long ago.
Okay.
I would say even last year, it was closer to 5.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you seeing higher prices when you go shopping? 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Maya Pandy with the byline has an article about it that says grocery prices are ticking up across the Midwest. Nationwide, food prices at grocery stores rose by 0.6% from July to August. That is the largest monthly rate increase for groceries since October of 2022.
I think that, you know, another question I'd like to ask people out there, because we've discussed this topic here and there, is what decisions are you having to make to afford your groceries, afford your medicine, afford your rent, afford this, that? I mean,
what about water bills? What about electric bills?
We saw back to school prices skyrocketing this year. We've seen all of these. And just as a breaking news here, gas is still not $1.99. So
it's not. I gassed up this morning.
Yeah. So my question to you is also not just, are you seeing higher prices, but are you having to make tough choices on what you can afford versus what you need to pay for? Those are the realities. And we've got a bunch of politicians out there who are talking about affordability. And I just want to know, how are you going to do that? Because you can't walk up to Nestle and say, lower your prices.
Yeah.
We're at where we're at now.
Nestle's going to laugh. This actually came up on the Fox Network. Laura Ingraham.
Oh, boy.
Who makes millions of dollars a year.
She's fine.
She's fine. Was talking about prices with a guest. Let's play that clip from Laura Ingraham on Fox, please, Calvin.
Okay, so the halting of the cattle trade with Mexico, and a lot of Americans don't know that we get so much of our beef from Mexico, but we do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's drastically reduced compared to the first half of 2024. So we've bought 63% less live animals from our southern neighbor.
That's right.
So is there a concern that our costs are going to continue to go up because affordability is a big issue for American consumers. I was just at the grocery store this morning. Yes, I go to the grocery store. Thank you very much. And there were two steaks. Yeah. It was $33 for two steaks at the grocery store. And these weren't fancy steaks. They were just, maybe they were little filet mignons. I don't know, but they were little. Yeah. $32.
So here's the thing. We talked about eggs months ago when the price of eggs were so high. The challenge, I'll say, with our cattle and our beef industry is that it takes 2 years from calf to slaughter. But Laura, here's the, I don't know if it's the silver lining, but the long-term vision. Just like our manufacturing that we have offshored for years that you've been such a leader on, we've also offshored our food, our beef cattle, our citrus. So much of this we're now importing from other countries like Mexico. This is a massive flag for our country. If we can't feed ourselves, this is a national security issue that has to be solved.
So what I'm hearing from that is maybe our government needs to give a rip about our farmers and help them. I understand affordability, and I understand that's the point of this conversation, but what she just said and what I heard was that if we are relying on other countries for these things, for food, which we can grow here, we can grow food here.
Some.
But we do beef. We do corn. Beef, yep. We do these. So what fixes in the United States can we implement? How do we help farmers maybe change if they can, grow, do more, incentivize? I just see possibilities, Jane.
Well, I guess the thing I pulled out of that was the 2 years.
Yeah.
Again, Donald Trump said he would lower prices on day one.
Yes, of course. Of course he said.
We're almost 10 months into this administration. Mm-hmm. Prices aren't doing nothing but rising. And so apparently we just have to wait. We were told by Elon.
2 years of pain.
2 years of pain.
2 years of
pain. Just 2 years of pain. And the other thing, one of the reasons why we have imports is because people want to eat tomatoes in January.
Yeah. Yes.
So we buy them from places that can grow them in January.
I would just like to hear that. I would like to play that. Darren Von Ruden will be here next week. I'd love to play that last bit for him and say, all right, you want to put the same blueprint that you're doing for manufacturing. Bring it back to America. Okay. How do we do that? Of course, there are things that can't be done. I understand that completely. But if you want to have more food growth, more availability here in this country, then you have to do the hard work and make programs that make it easier, incentivize tax credits for them to do this. Instead, what you're doing to these farmers is just making it harder. And then guess what happens? The prices go up.
Carol from Waukesha texting in. Yes, prices are up across the board. Halloween candy has gone up quite a bit. Oh. Also, coffee. And Mary from Tosa. Yep, food bills are rising. I'm seeing also some health supplements that I ordered online are increasingly out of stock. Unusual and concerning. Thanks, Mary. 855-752-4842 if you would like to join the discussion. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We're talking grocery prices. An article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel talking about grocery prices are rising in the Midwest. For example, cereal and bakery products up 1% from July, 1.3% from August. Looks like the biggest increase, meat, poultry, fish, and eggs rose 1.5% from July, 6.1% from August of last year. Fruits and veggies are up. Non-alcoholic beverage prices. Alcohol is up.
Oh, I mean, I think I told you this. I'll stop by the grocery store and pick up a six-pack for the house. A six-pack of beer, not a cans. I mean, not bottles, not a major import or a special
expensive
beer.
Yeah.
This is just a regular beer. And it was a six pack and it cost me $14.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I know people will say, oh, buy Pabst or buy Blue Ribbon or buy High Life. It's like, no, we're buying this beer because we want this beer. And it was $14 for a can six pack.
That seems high.
Do you know why, Jane? The price of aluminum has gone up.
That's right. Because of
tariffs.
There you go.
I couldn't say the word. I really, that comedy. It's all about
timing. There you go.
So
what are you seeing when you go out to the grocery store? 855-752-4842. Roger on the live stream says, I had sticker shock when I saw roast beef from the deli was $14.99 a pound. And Tony, also in the live stream, it is crazy, the price of beer now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What are you seeing when you head out to the grocery store? 855-752-4842. It's got to be tough for, especially I think of seniors who are on fixed incomes,
mm-hmm.
who depend on Social Security and that's their only income.
Yeah. I mean.
And meds.
Oh, geez. I mean, it's.
Even though he's going to reduce the prices by 1,500%. So apparently everything will be free soon.
Again, not to belabor the topic, but I'm just going to keep doing it now because we don't hear from them. Call up Mega supporters and tell us how this is working. Tell us how this is winning. I don't understand how day one prices can come down, which on a hypothetical level is good for the consumer. Prices come down. Great. I don't think about the next steps after prices come down because I don't know how you do that or what suffers in the long term by just artificially and just summarily reducing prices. But why do we have to have 2 years of pain, Elon's words, and we're taking down prices on day one? Nothing makes sense there.
Doesn't add up.
It feels more like we're in the 2 years of pain.
I think that's a fair assumption.
Yeah.
Yes. 2 years of, yeah, just 2 years, you guys, and then everything's going to be ducky.
But again, tell us where you're winning. Tell us that, you know, that your prices aren't going down. Do you have a special MAGA membership card? I'm not trying to be a jerk here. I really want to know because we don't hear from the defenders anymore because I don't know what there is left to defend.
The other thing I saw, and we're not going to have time to get into this deeply, but rent prices also aren't coming down.
No!
And that was supposed to be part of this whole great thing in all these mass deportations was going to open up all this housing, and it was going to be so much less expensive.
Mm-hmm.
That's not happening.
No.
I know everyone's shocked.
Remember when Kamala Harris, was running for president, and she wanted to put together legislation about price gouging,
mm-hmm.
which would be a way to hold businesses accountable from price gouging, which they have done. Look at Kroger's. Look, Google Kroger's price gouging pandemic. There's your evidence. And people thought she was insane. People thought she was a communist tyrant trying to tell private business what to do. But Donald Trump comes in and says, I'm going to lower prices. Well, how are you going to do that? Because at least with legislation, we can protect the people through consumer legislation that says, we'll make sure that the businesses aren't raking us over the coals.
Right.
Donald Trump's is just, I'm going to walk into a room with all these CEOs and tell them to lower their prices, and they're going to say yes. It just... my brain swims in nonsensical waters. It's like trying to say I want to get a refreshing dip in the Dead Sea. It doesn't work.
I've never thought of that.
Thank you. I just came up with that right now, and I'm using that forever.
Yeah, it's just interesting seeing some of the dancing coming from the administration. Any day soon now, it's going to be great.
Yep. Yeah.
855-752-4842. Rita from La Crosse is on the line. Rita, we got about 90 seconds left. Thank you for joining us. What do you want to say?
Well, I just wanted to say, well, I do the grocery shopping, and we are retired, so we are kind of on a fixed income. But all the prices, it's not like they just raise them 10 cents. They raise them like 70 cents.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
what I'm concerned about is my grandchildren, after they're done paying with all their college tuition, which I don't think they're going to ever be able to pay for. How can they get a home? A starter mm-hmm. home is $200,000.
Yeah,
yep.
More.
Or maybe even more.
Even more.
I mean, this is, yeah.
And
this is really, I'm sorry. sorry.
No, Rita. No,
nothing to be sorry for, nothing. Rita. We hear you and we feel you.
And honestly, like, all those things are the normal. Those are the normal steps of life: buying a house, getting the girl. God forbid one trip to the hospital comes into anyone's life. That's where we live in this world now. It's like you have to walk on such eggshells on just trying to live your life like a normal, productive American. You throw a hospital visit in there, and you're done.
You break your elbow. I read an article at a woman. Thank you, Rita. I really appreciate you checking in. I read an article yesterday about a woman who fell and broke her elbow.
Mm-hmm.
$90,000.
Yep.
$90,000.
Might as well gotten a master's degree while you're
at it. She's 62. She said, I'm going to pay this off until I'm dead, and then mm-hmm. it still won't be paid off. Mm-hmm. We have news coming up next, and then when we are back, Jim Santel will be here, host of Amicus, the Law Review. So many things to cover. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close. Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Board Lord, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. And just a reminder, it is underway right now.
Mm-hmm.
Our multi-state text to win Go for the Green and Gold contest. Grab your phone, open up the Civic Media app, and text in the word BAY, B-A-Y. Text in the word BAY, and you are in the running for our daily prize. Through this week and all of next week, every day we're giving away $200 in cash and gold jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're in the running for the grand prize to club-level indoor seats to see Green Bay and Minnesota November 23rd at noon. We got a gas card to get you there and back worth $1,550. Bay is the word. You have until 10 o'clock, B-A-Y. Text in the word BAY on the Civic Media app, and you are in the running, part of our multi-state text to win Go for the Green and Gold contest. And good luck. Tom Hartman will have a new word for you in the 11 o'clock hour and 1 o'clock. Then Todd Alba, 3 p.m., Maggie Dawn, 5 p.m., and Pete Schwabba wrapping it up in the 7 o'clock hour for our contest. So, again, good luck, and enter the word BAY, B-A-Y. He joins us every Thursday at this time to talk all things legalese. Jim Santel, our friend and colleague, the host of Amicus, a Law Review, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 across the network. You should listen. It's great.
I like how you introed it in our chat here. You said, which corruption would you like to start with?
Well, honestly,
it's corruption palooza.
It is corruption palooza. Right. And we got to narrow it down because we only have two segments with you, Jim. And there's so much to cover.
And we just call that Thursday in America
now,
right?
It's just another Thursday.
All together, it's Thursday.
Right. We mentioned this very briefly yesterday, but I think this deserves more attention before it completely disappears in the fire hose of news mm-hmm. that we live in right now. The Ed Martin
yes.
prosecution. Ed Martin, good friend of Donald Trump, good friend of Alex Jones.
Yes.
The InfoWars guy who tortured and tormented the families of the Sandy Hook children for years. They were doxxed. They were threatened. They were told their children were still alive. Eventually, and it took forever, Alex Jones was found guilty and required to pay up big time for what he had put these families through. And then this Ed Martin in the Trump administration decides to go after an FBI agent who testified during the trial. It's insane, Jim.
It is insane, and that's being charitable, my friend Shane, right? The insanity just goes on here. You do have, at the core of this, once again, as you said, a civil servant. He's a special agent of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. He's one of those who comes upon this horrific event on December 14th, 2012, just said 20 first graders killed, 6 educators killed. We all remember the horror. We still think about the horror of that day. This man investigates, determines what the facts are. And when Alex Jones comes along, this InfoWars nut, and yes, indeed, he is a mm-hmm. nut.
Yes.
And says that Sandy Hook never happened. It was a hoax. It was put together, false flags, completely wrong. He defames the families. He again, everything else happens with respect to, including this agent. And the agent and the families turn around and they sue for what? Defamation. That's right. You can't say those things, Alex, in the public domain. That's not First Amendment protected. $1.4 billion is the judgment attorney returns. And oh, by the way, so another $49 million judgment in another related lawsuit. Thankfully, the good news here, InfoWars being dismantled these days by virtue of the attempt to collect on that. But along the way, this nut, another nut named Ed Martin, he happens to be inside the Department of Justice. You may recall he was the unsuccessful candidate for U.S. attorney in the District of Columbia. Why? Because he had no legal experience, and beyond that was promoting the January 6 rioters. Members of Congress were opposed to him. He gets his job inside the Department of Justice. He's now in this weaponization working group, whatever that is, that our attorney general has put together, and begins to go after. You've got it just right. He begins to go after this special agent, sends him a letter saying you may have violated federal law by virtue of doing what you did in the defamation suit. Especially as a private citizen now, other reasons why that's ridiculous. And here's the only bit, the only smidgen of good news here is that Todd Blanche, as you know, I am not a fan of Todd Blanche at all. Even for Todd Blanche, this is a bridge too far. And he says, wait a minute, that's too much. And so he directs Ed Martin, the head of this weaponization working group, to withdraw the letter, an embarrassing follow-up letter saying,
Never mind.
Oopsie. We're withdrawing this. Go away. In the meantime, however, Alex Jones posts the initial letter on his social media. So we all see it, the allegations there against this legitimate special agent doing his job. And now we've got the deputy attorney general calling down Ed Martin down the hallway there and saying, no, even this behavior is too much for the Department of Justice. It should be a source of, once again, of outrage by everybody. Just as a footnote, another reason for concern. Oh, by the way, Ed Martin, not just the head of this weaponization working group, also supposed to assist in these spurious, completely meritless investigations of people like Letitia James and Adam Schiff. And he's also the pardon attorney. The president appointed the pardon attorney inside the Department of Justice, responsible for the office that used to, anyway, review pardon applications before presidents act on them. It is the world turned upside down, my friends. And yes, underreported, with due respect to the media, this is the kind of thing that shows you, I will call it that, the rot inside the Department of Justice, the corruption, and the placement in positions of great responsibility of people who have no business being there, and they're representing you and me and us.
I just want to reiterate, Ed Martin could not get confirmed by Republicans. So Donald Trump put him in an acting role. That's how he gets around this when people can't get confirmed by the elected officials who are supposed to do this. When they can't get confirmed, then he makes them acting and slips them in there. And the other thing that blows my mind about this, Jim, is that if Alex Jones had not been so arrogant and posted he posted a picture with Ed Martin like 2 weeks ago and then posted that letter, this probably would never have come out if Alex Jones hadn't done that.
Right. Absolutely. And again, not helping out the Department of Justice that, number one, understated, has egg on its face. Again, that's wildly understated. This is abuse of your position. This is, again, small thanks to the Deputy Attorney General for bringing this to a conclusion. But along the way now, once again, this special agent and presumably others defamed with a small D in the public domain because of the publication of this letter. There's an allegation, it's been withdrawn, but still an allegation by the Department of Justice that you may have committed a federal crime. Federal prosecutors never, ever, ever, with the exception of things in the great public domain, announce investigations, the possibility of prosecuting, because you don't want to taint the process. You don't want to impugn the integrity of people who may, in fact, in the end, be completely blameless for anything like this special agent. Here we went roughshod over that as well. Ed Martin needs to be shown the door at the Department of Justice. Tell him to go back home, wherever that may be, and let's never see him again, along with maybe gets a job with Alex Jones dismantling InfoWars. Get both of them out of our public domain. Get rid of these people.
But is that ever going to... Alex Jones still hasn't paid out a penny to these families.
He is not. And they're doing enforcement. And again, my sense is that they are dismantling. They are dismantling InfoWars, but it takes a long period of time. And in the meantime, you would think that there might be some level of humility inside Alex Jones, who says, I've got nearly $2 billion and I'm being financially destroyed. But nope, we're out in the public domain. Once again, Mr. President, Attorney General, send these people outside the Department of Justice. Go do something in another part of the world. But let's never hear from you again.
But this goes back to Project 2025.
It does.
Gutting the government out of everyone who is not a loyalist to Donald Trump. Not the Constitution, not the United States. We said this for months. We are now, our government is now filled with your least qualified cousin.
We are.
Because their number one qualification is they adore Donald Trump. That's the only qualification they need.
I was going to say both those things. I'm good.
Sorry.
Right? Exactly. And it's throughout government. And you think about, again, the old days, again, when we truly had two parties in this country as opposed to whatever the Republican Party stands for today. There are legitimate, competent conservative Republicans who can take these positions, right? You may not agree with them on policy. I may not. You may not. Others may not. Or we may agree with them. But they're legitimate. They're in the mainstream. They advance reasonable, if not agreeable, positions, if you will. That's what the debate's always been about. Those people are still out there somewhere among the 343 million people in America. And the notion that we've got to have all these folks, again, I'm convinced that there are nine human beings. The fact that this fellow is the pardon attorney, you know, that we've got the Secretary of State is also the head of the National Archives and the library, all these things. We can't find anybody qualified. And so we keep adding more things to their task list and along the way corrupting the very operation of government.
Well, this goes back to Jared Kushner in the first term. Jared Kushner was in charge of like so many things that it was laughable, like peace in the Middle East and repairing the economy, like just, you know, two small things. And we talked about this earlier, Jim, and you have direct federal experience. You have to be able to find some people out there who are smart enough to do this job, who are also going to be loyal to Trump, who could do this. Because when you surround yourself with morons, which these people are morons, there's no getting around it, you're going to always be stumbling and you're always going to be coming up with nothing. You're going to be coming up with these instead of coming at us with facts, they're coming at us with rhetoric. And that is what satiates the news, because they get their hit, they get their post, they get the clicks. But really, it just embarrasses Trump more and more, because he's hiring incompetents to do these high level positions. And it just doesn't make sense that they wouldn't just widen the net a little to find smarter people around the country.
Right, exactly. And probably the reason why that's not happening, imagine if you were called upon. Suppose any of us is in that category of competent, reasonable conservatives who might even be willing to say, you know what, I voted for Donald Trump. I support whatever that means in some broad sense what the president is trying to do. Would you want to become a part of this administration right now, where you're not only surrounded by people like the Dan Bongino's across the street at the FBI, who advance all these other crazy theories about Epstein and QAnon? Would you want to be a part of an administration where one day the president is going to call upon you to do something that you know is illegal? Is going to ask you, for example, as he's done with the U.S. attorneys in Virginia, Eastern Virginia, I want you to file lawsuits. I want you to prosecute people even though there's no evidence. And when you don't do that, what happens to that U.S. attorney 3 or 4 days ago? They're gone.
And that's what we're going to...
Who wants to become... Right?
That's what we're going to talk about next. The Letitia James case. She, of course, is the attorney general in New York State. Trump's been wanting to go after her for a long time. Couldn't get what he wanted, so he fired the guy. And his replacement is a doozy. All the details coming up. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Vast, statewide, countrywide, pick us up around the world, even in Minnesota, on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. You have about 7 minutes left to grab your phone, open up the Civic Media app, and text in the word BAY. B-A-Y. BAY is the word you want to text in right now to get you into our multi-state text to win Go for the Green and Gold contest up for grabs this every day of the contest. $200 in cash and gold jewelry. And then you're in the running for those really good indoor club level tickets to see Green Bay and Minnesota November 23rd at noon, plus a gas card to get you to and from the game worth $1,550. The word you have until 10 o'clock is BAY. B-A-Y. Good luck. Tom Hartman will have another word for you coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, so stick around for that. Jim Santel, our friend and colleague and host of Amicus, a law review, Saturdays 9 to 11 across the network, is our guest. He joins us every Thursday to talk all things legal. Let's talk about the Letitia James case. Letitia James is the attorney general in New York that Donald Trump has long wanted to go after because she doesn't, you know, she went after him. And
successfully, by the way, proved fraud, even though the appeals court addressed the amount of the judgment. The finding of civil fraud remains in New York, just like, for what it's worth, just as an aside, the 34 counts of felony convictions in another court in New York. My president is still a convicted felon, lest we forget that.
Important to remember. But so he had a U.S. attorney working on this case for months and months and months. He worked on this for about 8 months, I believe, 7-8 months, and did not find enough to bring charges against Letitia James, Eric Siebert. So he resigned. Donald Trump says he fired him. He resigned. And now they have put in a young person who has no she has never prosecuted a case. Yeah. Never.
Even though the president of the United States of America, in lie, what, number 34,000 in his presidential career, describes her as a tough prosecutor. A tough prosecutor of what? Well, she has handled some insurance matters back in Florida. A legitimate thing to do. No suggestion that's inappropriate. But no qualification for this job of being the chief federal law enforcement officer in the Eastern District of Virginia, right across the Potomac, right across from Washington, D.C. Huge numbers of very important cases, national security, other things, by virtue of the fact that you're just adjacent to the nation's capital. She comes in, and now here's my question to your listeners, and certainly I know you're scratching your head about it as well. Eric Siebert, by the way, not exactly a liberal Democrat. He's friends with Emile Beauvais. He has got support inside the Department of Justice. This is a mainstream, again, probably balanced prosecutor, but he's got ties to the Republican Party. We're not getting rid of some Democrat here. Now we have Ms. Halligan and Lindsay Halligan. And so she now gets the same files that Eric Siebert, who was a prosecutor for many years, looked at and said, there's no there. There's nothing in this file.
Nice try.
What do you now do, Ms. Halligan? Tell me, please tell me, you're not going to go to the grand jury and attempt to indict Letitia James and others on charges that do not exist based upon information that's not there? What do you do now? And when you fail to do that because you can't, what is your fate? What is your fate? It goes back to this notion of when you're doing the bidding of the president and there's no bidding to do there, you're putting your own self on the line. She not only has an oath of office to the United States of America, the Constitution, but she's also an attorney. And we've seen what has happened with attorneys in the past,
yes,
who have failed to follow their oath of office. I think she is in harm's way, and it'll be interesting to see what the attorneys in that office, the civil servants, when she shows up there and they show her this file that says nothing about anybody here to prosecute, what then does she tell the president of the United States of America.
I think what we've seen from many of these individuals is when they have nothing, they stand up in front of a microphone, they start yelling at the media, telling us it's their fault, telling it's the Democrats' fault. I'm sorry, telling us it's Democrat Party fault, and making all sorts of claims while trying to buy more time until inevitably she has to leave. There are no consequences for her failures other than she will be fired or quit or whatever. I mean, it really is just becoming a revolving door of individuals coming in to do these jobs. They can't do them. They move on, and maybe they capitalize on it because there's someone out there who wants to hire someone who worked for Donald Trump. I don't see her getting in trouble because no one gets in trouble.
No, right?
No, there's no consequences anymore.
Exactly, Greg. And also underscores this other issue the three of us have talked about at great length, which is the complete destruction of the wall that used to exist between the White House and the Department of Justice. This was the reason we had the Watergate reforms back in 1974 and 75. Presidents, both parties, including the Bushes and Ronald Reagan and certainly the Democrats, have followed this. Now we are simply accepting every morning when the president wakes up and says, as he has, Attorney General or U.S. Attorney, I want these people prosecuted. It is completely contrary to the rule of law. It's contrary to the constitutional separation of powers that we have with respect to who makes decisions about prosecution. And it's another reason for America to look at the Department of Justice as the vacant agency that has now become. U.S. attorneys are a part of the Department of Justice, to make that clear. These are not separate entities. The FBI is a part of the Department of Justice. We see what's going on.
Listen to Jim Santel Saturdays 9 to 11, Amicus, a law review across the network. It is fantastic. Thank you so very much for your time, my friend. We will see you next Thursday. Appreciate it.
It's a pleasure, my friends.
We got news coming up next. And then on the other side, Representative Mark Pocan will be joining us.
He never has anything to say.
We'll talk to Paul Noonan about all things sports, and we'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.